This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Joining us now is the career guru, Mr. Joel McKenzie. He turns candidates into contenders through his company entitled Ripple Connects. Joe, how can people find you?
They can reach out to me at 763-438-1621 or go to my website, rippleconnects.com.
All right. We want to talk about how to stand out during the interview process. And I think about spring, things are turning green and flowers are coming up and they're really standing out. So how do you stand out now in the hiring process when the big time hiring season for 2023 is now in our rear view mirror?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of the hiring does take place in that first quarter of the year, but there will be opportunities throughout the year. And I think anytime you have an opportunity to interview, you should take steps to stand out in the interviewing process, because you want to be remembered. You want to make sure that your background is measured right for this opportunity, and you want to make sure it's a good career move for yourself. So these are some of the steps that we've talked about here in the last several years on New Beginnings, but I do think it's important for that reinforcement, for just a couple of key steps to take to help you stand out when you're being interviewed.
We're talking with Joe McKenzie today about how to stand out during the interview process, especially right now. So what would be step number one, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I've never been a fan of someone just going and winging an interview without preparing. I don't care if you've got 40 years in that industry. If you're not prepared to talk about some of your significant career accomplishments in a clear, concise way, then you're not going to stand out. You're going to meander with your answers. You're not going to be on point. You might even give self-serving answers that don't help you to stand out. So first step, take inventory of your most significant career accomplishments and write them down. Make sure they're truly your career accomplishments that you're most proud of, and you're prepared to talk about them in a succinct way. So that is the first step in preparation. Don't go into an interview without knowing what your most significant career accomplishments are. And that's a step that many people overlook. They think they're going to remember it, but so many things are in play in an interview, Freddie. If you don't write them down, you may forget to talk about one of the most important things that happened in your career that they should know about.
Interesting. So that's step number one. Is there a number, is there a finite number of accomplishments that an individual should put in that list as they're considering what their accomplishments are?
I think they need to look at what type of opportunity they're interviewing for and curate the specific accomplishments that are going to be most relevant to that opportunity. And that's that first step. That's a refinement part of writing them down and getting them in, you know, kind of that order for yourself, that you can say, okay, this is a time that I took over a nonprofit and this is what I needed to do. And here today we're doing X plus one. That is something you want to make sure that's on your list and you're ready to talk about it.
It's interesting. I know that people are listening right now, and we've only gone to step one, but I can just hear some of our folks listening, and they're saying, boy, this is a lot of structure to standing out in an interview process. I just want to go in and talk about what I've done.
Yes, and that is oftentimes the case. But if you truly want to stand out, you need to be able to ready to talk about those. And if you're just going to make it about you in that interview, Freddie, you're really not giving the people that are wanting to fill that position enough information for you to be measured and your experience to be measured right. And that's why I think it's so important to get your thoughts in order. And that's that first step.
Get your thoughts in order. So what would step number two be in making sure that we stand out during that interview process?
I would say invest time in developing your own set of questions. And what I mean by that is, don't just go to the internet and print off commonly used interview questions for the employer. I would say that you have to be comfortable asking questions so you can understand what they're looking to accomplish there. I've long talked about a career expert author, Lou Adler, who's written the book, The Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Hired. A lot of his questions are so simple that we overlook them. We spend more time thinking of answers to questions that we're going to be asked, and we don't spend nearly enough time putting down some of the questions that you should ask the employer, the hiring team. And it could be just as simple as, what are some of the challenges associated with this job? If they're going to tell you what some of the challenges are, couldn't you carefully curate some of those similar challenges you had in another position, Freddie?
You really could. Just outline those and think about them.
Yes. So if you understand what that challenge is with that position and you've had experience with that, and if you bring that over, it's transferable from another opportunity. Now, Freddie, that's how you stand out. Now you're talking their language. Now you're entering their world of some of the challenges. And that is how you stand out. And it could be as simple as, you know, what are the actual problems that whoever takes this job will have to solve? And now we're into the problem solving area of the interview. And if they give you some of the problems that need to be solved, mm-hmm. and once again, you carefully curate some similar experience solving those same problems, another opportunity to stand out. And all you did was tweak getting a couple questions ready for you to ask them to understand what's taking place there. That's how you stand out.
Wow. Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. We're talking about standing out in the interview process for that new career or maybe even that promotion. So you've taken inventory of your significant career accomplishments. You're talking about, you've talked to us about developing your own set of questions and those answers. What would step number three be?
Proactively set up time to sit down with the people that you know and trust to practice. I know that may, if you've had hundreds of interviews in your career, that doesn't matter. The most important interview is the one that you're going to be setting up here in the next month or so. And wow. So therefore, we need to proactively bring in the people that know and trust us, that will give us honest feedback, will give us that opportunity to talk about our significant accomplishments, to practice asking those questions. Ball players go to spring training every spring, right, Freddie?
That's right.
To refine their curveball and their swing, right?
Mm-hmm. Man, so it's important to practice.
That's right. If you haven't interviewed in a while, maybe your curveball is not where it should be, or your swing is as smooth as it could be. That's the third and final step, Freddie. Proactively set up time to have conversations with people so you can talk about your significant accomplishments in a safe setting, in a practice setting, and then ask questions. It should be natural. But that will allow you to know what you're stepping into. And the most important interview is the one that you're going to be setting up, not the one that you conducted 10 years ago.
For those who just joined us, can you tick off those three things that we need to do to stand out in the interview process?
Absolutely, Freddie. First and foremost, get your thoughts in order. Think about, reflect, and take inventory of some of your most significant accomplishments in your career that are going to be the most relatable to the position you're going to be interviewing for. Write them down, have them ready, but also refine them. Make sure that these are the ones you truly think are some of your most successful, significant accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Number two, take time to invest in developing your own questions to ask the interviewee. You want to be curious. You want to be like a detective on TV asking questions. Tell me about some of the problems that are associated with this job that someone would have to solve. Tell me some of the challenges involved. So you got to pivot to being curious about that opportunity, because you don't want to make a move if it's not a good move, and you certainly don't want to go into an opportunity that has challenges that you can't solve or you can't overcome them. So go pivot to developing your own set of questions. That curiosity level raises with those questions. And finally, practice with someone you know that's going to give you honest feedback. It could be over a cup of coffee, Freddie. It could be over the phone. It could be over a virtual type of meeting. But practice. Be comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone talking about yourself. We don't often do it. And remember, the most important interview is the one that you're going to set up, not the one that you had 10 years ago.
That's great. Joe McKenzie with us this weekend. And so let's put a bow on it. You've done all of that. You've gone through the interview process. What next?
Well, this is my own opinion. I do think when you do take the opportunity to express your gratitude for that opportunity, to learn more about this position, write a thank you note, handwritten thank you notes. They're always good. They're always well received. And I think that is a nice closure. Even if for some reason, Freddie, you don't feel this is the opportunity for you, they'll remember you by that handwritten, stamped thank you note that you send to them. And that's my final thought on how to stand out in the interviewing process.
He's Joe McKenzie. And if you'd like to learn more, just visit RippleConnects.com. Joe, you do some fine work at your company.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. Thanks again for joining us, and it happened this week. In 1828, the first edition of Noah Webster's The American Dictionary of the English Language was published. In 1865, Abraham Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth at Washington's Ford Theater. In 1894, Thomas Edison's kinetoscope peep show device went on public display in New York City's Arcade. The device was a forerunner of the motion picture. It displayed about 13 seconds of images of Annie Oakley and Buffalo Bill. In 1985, a record television audience watched Geraldo Rivera open Al Capone's vault at Chicago's Lexington Hotel. He found only broken bottles. In 1986, Desmond Tutu was elected Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, South Africa. The next year, fighter jets from the United States bombed Libya in response to their role in the bombing of a West Berlin disco. At least 15 people were killed in the attack. In 1995, actor-singer Burl Ives died at the age of 85. He narrated the Christmas classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And in 1995, the United Nations Security Council gave permission to Iraq, still under sanctions for its invasion of Kuwait, to sell $2 billion worth of oil to buy food, medicine, and other supplies. Iraq rejected the offer. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Scissors, clippers, styling and profiling. Information online at thestandardmn.net in Oakdale, Minnesota.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And right now, we turn our attention to Minnesota's State Director for AARP, Kathy McClear. And you've got a one-of-a-kind movement experience coming up. Tell us about that.
Hey, Freddie. Yeah, so I think everyone is super excited that spring has finally arrived in Minnesota. Just in time for Earth Day on April 22nd. And this is kind of a first-time event for us. It's called an Earth Day Pedestrian Dignity Walk. And as you know, AARP is all about making stronger communities. And one way you can do that is through making sure your community is walkable. So safe streets, safe intersections, safe neighborhoods. And we're bringing in an expert on this to really talk about how to slow down, look around your community, and take a walk.
Wow. So who is this special guest, and tell us a little bit about him?
Sure. Jonathan Stalls calls himself a walking artist. He spent 242 days walking across the United States in 2010. and has just continued to move alongside thousands of people for thousands of miles. He's all about making meaningful connections, just grounding yourself in the themes of mobility justice, and learning a few new tools for advocating for dignified, accessible, and healthy streets.
Wow. So when you talked about dignity and walking justice, mobility justice, so that tells me that this walk is for everyone, no matter what your level of mobility might be.
Absolutely. From what I've seen from him, you know, whether you can do it at a mile an hour or 3 miles an hour, it's really just slowing down to take a look around your neighborhood, look at where you could possibly make improvements, where you can make connections in your neighborhood. And we just hope everyone, you know, will join us for this walk or just get out and take a walk around their own communities as well.
So how long is the entire walk for those who are so inspired?
Sure. The whole route is about 5.5 miles, and there's a couple of meeting locations. So you can meet at the corner of Franklin Avenue and Oliver Avenue. That's at 8:30. That's the early start. You can start a little later at 9 at West Franklin Avenue and Hennepin Avenue South, or you can meet at the halfway point at 10:30, and that's at East Franklin Avenue and Bloomington. And the walk will end on University near the Raymond Avenue light rail station.
So is there a need to register everybody? We're talking about the Earth Day Pedestrian Dignity Walk. It's the first of its kind that AARP Minnesota has been involved with, involving Jonathan Stalls, whom Kathy just told us is a walking artist. I've got to see this. So what do we have to do to register if we have to?
Sure. You can register at aarp.org/MN events.
All right. Is there any cost for this, Kathy?
There is no cost. We just want to make this free and open to those who want to participate. And again, these pedestrian dignity walks are really centered around, you know, everyone who moves as a pedestrian, either on foot or on wheelchairs. And, you know, as everybody gets so car centric and feels the need to drive everywhere, and we live these fast paced lives and often get very isolated, especially after a long winter, this is a really good opportunity just to come out and connect with folks in your community.
There's a writer who says, open your eyes and see what you'll find. And I would imagine along this walk course, there's a lot to take in as you're walking that 5 mile route.
Absolutely. And one of his books talks about it's walk, slow down, wake up and connect at 1 to 3 miles an hour. So a great opportunity to open your eyes and connect with some of your neighbors.
All right. Well, that's Kathy McClear, AARP's Minnesota State Director. We're talking about Earth Day Pedestrian Dignity Walk. And if you'd like to learn more, go to AARP.org/MN events. And this is New Beginnings. In our never-ending effort to find valuable information and insight in all areas, it's time to bring in Cassie Crandall with this week's Three Things.
Thank you, Freddie. It's Cassie Crandall with my Three Things. Thing one this week. Are you looking for something to do this weekend? The Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival is happening through April 24th. It's the 42nd Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival, returning to the main cinema with additional screenings at the Capri Theater in North Minneapolis and the Landmark Center in St. Paul, presenting more than 200 films from around the world and a selection of exciting parties, panels, and filmmaker networking events and discussions. And my thing number two this week. Did you know that Netflix all began 25 years ago with their DVD service? I'm sure that's how all of us got started, picking out different DVDs, and they arrived in the mail, and then we dropped them in the mail to return them. Oh my gosh, that was so great. And now, we don't really use DVDs much anymore, do we? We're streaming everything. Well, it has been announced by Netflix that they're winding down their DVD service. They will send out their last DVD on September 29th of this year, also my son's birthday. I'm sure that over the years, the DVD service has dwindled in utilization And with everything being streamed, well, they just don't need to do it anymore. And last but not least, thing number three, it's a quote from Mark Twain. 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than those you did. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from safe harbor, catch the wind in your sails, explore, dream, discover. That kind of sounds like some words to the wise from Freddie. Have a wonderful week, everybody. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week. Hi again, everybody. It's National Blueberry Pie Day, ushering in the blueberry pie making season. Blueberry harvest begins in April and lasts until September, giving us a long season of blueberry enjoyment. We've been enjoying blueberries and pies since the early settlers arrived. In 1872, the first documented recipe for blueberry pie appeared in the Appledore Cookbook. Blueberries are abundant in Maine, so it's no surprise that blueberry pie is the state's official dessert. This once wild berry became domesticated during the early 1900s, thanks to the observations of Elizabeth White and the research of Dr. Frederick Coville. Before their efforts, wild blueberries were never successfully transplanted and raised in any farming operation for personal or commercial production. The only way to enjoy fresh blueberries was to seek them out where they grew naturally. It's one of the healthiest fruits on the market. Full of antioxidants, this nutrient berry helps inhibit cancer development and help prevent urinary tract disease. Eating blueberries may also assist in maintaining healthy blood pressure, reducing blood sugar, and easing symptoms of depression. It's National Blueberry Day. If you'd like to learn more, visit me at freddiebell.com. Our show continues right after this.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. Scissors, clippers, styling and profiling. Information online at thestandardmn.net in Oakdale, Minnesota.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Leibel Sternbach. He's Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and also Authenticity. Leibel, welcome back. And I'm just wondering, why is it that it seems that the top 1% pay the least amount in taxes? Clearly, I'm not in the top 1%.
So the two things. One, the top 1%, they pay, you know, dollar-wise, they pay the most in taxes. Percentage-wise, they pay the least in taxes. And the reason for it is because our tax code is set up to incentivize certain behaviors. And the affluent, right, really people who are in the top 5% of earners, they have discretion with their income, right? When you make barely enough money to cover your expenses, or you're living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, you don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of what you can do with your money or how you can earn your money. But when you start having extra money, when you start having more than your necessities, then you start to have a choice of how you earn your money. And it doesn't take much Google searching. It doesn't take much of listening to the wealthy talk about money for you to realize one thing. earning money, earning a paycheck is the most expensive way to make money, right? That it gets taxed at the highest highest rates. It is the most labor intensive. You get the least return on your investment. It is the thing that we got to do when we don't have any other ability to earn money. But the second that anyone really develops ability to earn money elsewhere or other ways, they take it. And our tax code is designed to incentivize that behavior because it is good for our country. When you work and you put, you know, you put a hard day's labor in, you know, an honest day's wage, you get paid an honest day's wage, but that honest day's wage just goes to you, right? You pay your rent, you buy your food. It doesn't really circulate in the economy a lot. What we'd much rather have as a country is we'd want you to not put in a hard day's work, but figure out how to hire 100 people, figure out how to build some widget that you sell to other countries that they pay money so that we can get the wealth of other nations into our economy. And our tax code is the core of our economic engine that facilitates that transfer of wealth from other nations to us and from within our economy, within our, you know, nation. It facilitates the movement of money to the areas and sectors of the economy that we want to grow. So when we think about why do the 1% pay the least amount in taxes, it's because they are using the tax code to their advantage. They're earning their money in the most tax efficient ways possible. They are spending it in the areas that our economy, that our country wants us to spend money, right? So for instance, Elon Musk, right? He built Tesla. Tesla makes more money selling tax credits than they do selling cars. I think the, you know, for 2020, they sold $5 billion worth of cars and $50 billion worth of tax credits.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, it is a significant amount, a portion of their revenue comes from selling these tax credits. And that's true across the board, right? When you look at the tax, at the wealthy, right, they go into these industries that are up and coming. And it's not just because, well, there's great returns on investments when you go into a new field. It's also because there's tax incentives to do it. They own real estate because it's tax advantageous to own real estate. They own, you know, green energy companies and oil companies and coal mines and all of these different companies because there are tax incentives to own those companies, to run those companies, to generate your income that way, as well as giving charity, right? There's incentives to giving charity. And all these behaviors, it's codified in the tax code. It changes every few years what Congress wants you to do. But the 1% understand that taxes is a game. It's a treasure map. And the more that you look to the treasure map to tell you what to do with your money, the less you're going to pay on your taxes. So we as investors, we as individuals, once we meet our necessities, we need to look at our money and we need to say, what is the most tax efficient way of accumulating our wealth? Of, you know, when it comes time to retirement and we need to take our wealth and we need to turn that into income, what is the most tax efficient way to do that? And if we do not do that work of thinking through these decisions, Congress is going to do it for us and they're going to default to the decision that is most beneficial for them. And so when you ask the question, why do the 1% pay the least in taxes? It is because they are an active participant in our tax code. They are an active participant in deciding how they earn money and how they pay taxes. And it is something that everyone has the ability to do, assuming that you're meeting your necessities.
Interesting. We're talking with Leibel Sternbach. For those who don't have that capacity, Leibel, to hire 100 people, what's left for us to do to participate in this society?
So the what I want you to think about, and I talk about this on my website, I got a guide called How to Pay Zero Taxes in Retirement, which I walk through, and I've got a class and a webinar that goes through the same concepts. But the concept I want you to think about is I want you to think about taxes as a ladder, right? And what you have is at the bottom rung of this ladder, you've got the least efficient money, right? And it's you got one leg up over being dead broke, right? So, you know, think about wages, right? It doesn't really do much. It doesn't do much for the economy. It doesn't do much for you. And you pay the most amount of taxes on it. Next up, you have things like, tax deferred, right? So your retirement accounts, right? You don't pay taxes on it right away. You get an immediate incentive, right? So it reduces your taxable income. So it's actually doing something for you, right? It's by saving money for retirement. You're number one, you're reducing your tax liability today. So that's great. And you're saving for your future and you're saving it on a higher account balance. So that's great, right? Now, there are people who are going to say, no, you should always save for Roth. A conversation for another time, whether tax deferred or tax free savings is the way to go. But for now, I want you to think of that middle level as things where you have some kind of tax efficiency built in. And then the final level is what I call the tax me when I choose bucket. And this level is what I think of being the most tax efficient. When we're talking about wages, you don't get to decide when you get taxed, right? You get taxed when you earn it. When you save money for retirement, well, Congress decides when you get taxed on that because you got RMDs, those required minimum distributions that you have to take out of your retirement accounts, which, you know, whether it's age 73 or age 75 now, at some point you're going to have to take that money out. And even if you take that money out earlier, you're going to have to pay taxes on it as if it's ordinary income. So it isn't the most efficient. It's better than wages, but it's still you're gonna pay a high tax bill on it. The final level is the tax me when I choose, and that's the most efficient because you get to choose when and how you get taxed. And it's very possible that you can pay zero taxes on it, on that money in there. And it is one of the secrets of the wealthy. So if you notice, and you can look at Elon Musk because he's kind of flamboyant about this, but the wealthy very rarely sell their stocks. They very rarely sell things to generate income. Instead, what they do is they borrow against their assets. And debt in this country is not taxed. And so they will borrow against their assets and use that to fund their lifestyle. Now, at some point, they're going to have to pay off that debt. And at some point, there's going to be a tax bill due for that, but they can defer that for a very long time. And it's in all likelihood that if they play their cards right in terms of investing and how they manage things, they can offset a lot of that tax liability both now and in the future. And so when we talk about the wealthy, it's the reason why they pay less in taxes is because they concentrate their wealth in that top level of the tax bracket, of the tax efficiency ladder, where they get to choose when and how they get taxed, and they can defer their tax liability to years when it's advantageous to them. Donald Trump he's in the news on a regular basis about this, about the fact that he has managed to get tax refunds from the government, despite, you know, generating millions of dollars from his businesses, because he's able to use the tax code so efficiently. And so we as regular people, we have the ability to do it. We have the ability to do it on, you know, perhaps a limited basis, but doing things, whether it's investing in, you know, tax efficient positions, whether it's about doing things like Roth conversions in years where it's advantageous. So, you know, you lose your job and you're looking for a new job. Well, that's probably a great year to do a Roth conversion because your tax liability that year is going to be really low. So there are lots of opportunities. You just need to be on the lookout for you because the IRS is not going to come to you and say, hey, you have all these opportunities to save money on your taxes. You have all these opportunities to accumulate wealth. Nobody is going to come and tell you that these opportunities exist except for yourself. You're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to find them, or hire for yourself a great financial advisor who is aware of these opportunities. And not every advisor is.
You mentioned a Roth conversion being a really excellent way to save money on taxes. So if somebody's trying, they're considering taking advantage of these tactics you've just outlined, what's the best way to get them started?
So number one, do your research and understand what these tactics are. My website is filled with articles, filled with podcasts, filled with training and guides on these different strategies where I go into depth on it. Number two, book an appointment with me, right? I'm more than happy to talk with people as, you know, as availability is on my calendar, or shoot me an email. Love hearing from you guys. Post a question on my Facebook page. But, you know, ask. That number one is ask, right? And then number two is when you see something and you think, hey, you know, that's a cool idea that I think applies to me. Speak to a financial advisor, speak to your accountant and get their opinion. And then don't just take their word for it. Get a second opinion, right? Because some people will be overly aggressive. Some people will be overly conservative, but you want to kind of see, you know, get all sides and then make a decision for yourself. Because the number one thing that the top 1% have that distinguishes them from everyone else is they have a bias towards action. They make decisions quicker than everyone else, and they take action where everyone else is thinking. So the biggest thing that you can do to earn wealth for yourself and to help save money on taxes and do these things is to just take action. Do your research and then make a decision based on the information you have, and then continually tweak that decision to your comfort and as you learn and grow.
Every time we get together and have an opportunity to chat like this, Libel, I learn so much. And this is one of those. I spoke with Maya Angelou years ago, and she says, when you have an epiphany, that's when you turn a glass over. And I think I've turned over two glasses today. That website again is yieldsforyou.com.
Yieldsforyou.com.
All right. Really insightful, as I just mentioned. And everyone, join us next time as we talk about how to leverage the tax code. And you've heard a lot about that today, how to leverage the tax code to stretch your retirement savings and ensure that you don't run out of money. Libel's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number four, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. It's time for a little fun this week on New Beginnings. Four things you probably didn't know. Number one, Los Angeles County has a larger population than 40 states. Number two, in 2008, the Consumer Product Safety Commission recalled over 20,000 fake hillbilly teeth because the gray surface paint on the teeth contained excessive levels of lead. Number three, watching a 90-minute horror movie can burn between 100 and 185 calories. And finally, the Milky Way galaxy is about 100,000 light years across. It's wacky, but it's true. A gang of robbers was arrested in Brazil after they kept being interrupted by pizza delivery guys. At a car repair shop, an employee ordered a pizza for his lunch minutes before the gang arrived. When the pizza delivery person arrived, the gang locked him up with the repair shop staff. Staff at the pizza shop began to worry about what had happened to the delivery person and sent a second person to check. He too was locked up. And when he didn't come back, the pizza shop manager decided to check for himself. When the manager didn't return, the owner called the police, who arrested part of the gang, recovered most of the stolen goods, and released the hostages. And if you work on your feet all day long with little or no opportunity to take the occasional sit-down break, experts suggest change your shoes. In a study, people who changed out their shoes at least once during an 8-hour shift said they felt less fatigued at the end of their shift. And finally, there are some food failures that you may remember. The food industry produces countless duds, and the Museum of Failure curated some of the biggest food failures. McDonald's Arch Deluxe. McDonald's spent a reported $200 million developing and marketing Arch Deluxe, a premium item meant to dethrone the Big Mac. However, franchises found it difficult to make, and customers thought it was overpriced. It was removed from menus in the year 2000. How about this? Colgate Frozen Dinners. Colgate made a brief move into frozen foods in the 1980s, introducing a frozen lasagna TV dinner. It went nowhere. And finally, Kellogg's Orange Juice Flavored Cereal. Kellogg's introduced OJ's in the 1985, advertising the cereal's natural flavors and how it had all the vitamin C of a 4-ounce glass of orange juice. However, customers found the combination of orange juice and milk disgusting, and Kellogg's discontinued the cereal a year later. Just for Fun this week on New Beginnings.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com. Scissors, clippers, styling and profiling. Information online at thestandardmn.net in Oakdale, Minnesota. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Paul, that great teacher that shaped so much of what we call Christianity, was addressing the early Christian community that was forming in Philippi, in what we now call Macedonia. And he wrote, at the end of his letter, after he had talked on like somebody I know, he said, to sum it all up, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these qualities. Our earliest prayer, used in our Unity tradition, begins with this simple line. But what does it mean to you? The invocation begins, I am now. I am now in the presence of pure being. Some of you are mouthing the words along with me. Charles said every Unity student should begin their day, their meditation, their prayer time, with those words. Why? It's bringing your attention around to this moment. I am now in the presence of pure being, embraced by God, if you will, however it's meaningful to you to word it. But to remind yourself, like that scripture, this is the day that God has made. This is the moment that God has given me. What am I going to do with it? Francine caught me. I've been given this gift. You've been given this gift. You have been given this hour, this moment. What are you going to do with it? When you know that, when you focus on that, you will know joy. You'll be filled with enthusiasm, another word for God flowing through us, Spirit moving and animating us. Here. Now, easy to say, challenging to practice. Really try with that little piece of paper just to see how many times you're catching yourself Monday, tomorrow. Thinking about the week ahead, or thinking about that service at Unity you had to sit through on Sunday, and forgetting to claim the day that God has made for you in that moment. So let's take a moment. Let's move into the silence. Father, Mother, God, life-giving, life-sustaining power, I am now immersed in your presence. In this moment, in your embrace, my body is healed because I see it aligned with the truth you created, the gift that you gave me. That is a healing pulse. Spirit of the living God, in this moment, you are all wisdom, guiding the clarity of my thinking, the warmth of my feeling, and the firmness and strength of my willing to act. Father, Mother, God, I am a song you are singing into life. I am your beautiful melody, unlike any other. I will allow the world to hear me. To hear your song that is me. This moment is our life. It is our love. It is our wisdom. It is our power. It is our substance. Because it is. Now, I recall a technique of our friend Marlene. If you're struggling with anything in this moment, are you okay now? How about now? Is everything okay now? We give thanks for the blessing of now. We give thanks for the blessing of presence between us. And let's close this reflection, if you want to join me, if you want to support me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let's try it again. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Try that this week. Sing that. And if that doesn't bring you to this moment and make you aware of the omnipotent good of God embracing you, rooting for you, guiding you, reassuring you, empowering you, only the now will do it.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And here are today's words to the wise. Know your worth. Today's words to the wise. Know your worth. If you'd like to learn more, visit me at freddiebell.com. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.